I want to go right into my main text, Hebrews, the 4th chapter and the 12th verse. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God, everybody say the word of God. The word of God, it's four things in this context. Now, the word of God is a lot of things. There are a lot of attributes to the word of God. It's a fire, it's a hammer. The Bible says his word's a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. They're amazing things that help us to understand just how major this document from Genesis to Revelation really is. It's what reveals God to us. It's what speaks of our origin, speaks of our destiny, speaks about eternity. It's what brings conviction to us about sin and reveals to us that righteousness is available. Paints vivid pictures about how the church is a body and that we're to walk in love, but also desire earnestly spiritual gifts, that there's a Father, a Son, and a Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's poured out on all flesh. Where do we get that but the Bible? So the Bible's super, super important, and it says the Word of God is, here are the four things, living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, both joints and marrow, and is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. I think we just spend a little bit of time in verse 12, and we can look at these facets. The first one is living. The next one is active. The next one after that is sharper. And then the last point, and I want to spend a little bit of time on the last point, it's piercing. It's a divider. And it separates and makes distinction between soul and spirit. For that matter, spirit, soul, and flesh. So we're not walking in carnality, not leaning on our own understanding. Proverbs chapter 3, it says, trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. He'll direct your paths. God's word is a gift to us. And it starts out with that it's living. I mean, God's word is living. It's alive. And the King James says quick. And it'll quicken you. It'll alert you. The word of God'll speak to you. He'll speak his word to you. We parents are taught to teach our kids about the word so that when they lay down, when they get up, when they're walking about, the word comes back to them. Patsy and I went and visited a few churches out of state when we were on weekend breaks. We so rarely get those. And we were thrilled to get to go and just participate and see what's going on in other church bodies. I was so blessed. I, in fact, am so grateful to the pastor that bothered to put together a word that ministered to the guy in the back row. And it was just amazing. I thought about writing him a letter because I so deeply appreciate what happened that he doesn't know anything about. He didn't know who he was talking to. For that matter, I don't really know who I'm talking to in terms of what you're going through, what you're facing, maybe the high points of joy that we should celebrate you with you in, or maybe the bizarre pressures. We don't know fully what's going on in the world around us, but the Bible does say we know in part and we prophesy in part. And as we go in and investigate God's word, and the one thing we can find out for sure is that it's living. Jesus said in John 17:17, sanctify them in truth, thy word is truth. Flesh profits nothing, the spirit gives life. God's word is spirit and truth, so then therefore it's life-giving. I'm a product of the word of God preached in my life. Somebody told me about Jesus, it got in my thinking, it got in my consciousness, it got in my heart, and it alerted me to the call to repentance. Made me aware by the Holy Spirit that I was a sinner, that I needed to be saved, and it compelled me to receive Jesus into my life. Hallelujah. God, faith came when I heard the word. Why? Because it's living. It's alive. It's living. I looked up this word, and it's zao. It's similar to zoe. It's a Greek word. And one of the other applications for it is in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, that says, according to his mercy, he caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. A living hope. Our message is not some flat, stale, cold, religious concept. There's life in Jesus. He came to give abundant life and that much more abundantly. My first early days of my Christian life, when I came in to encounter real Christianity, the word of God, the message that was preached was alive. In fact, I remember I got invited to a service, and there was a pastor out in California, feathered hair, sideburns, big bell bottoms, platform shoes, man. It was a trip. It was the 70s after all. I had heard the Bible in different visits in different church settings. I asked our dad, I said, how many churches do you think we visited in our youth? He said, probably 35. I didn't find much of what I was looking for in those settings. Maybe because I just, you know, I of course I was lost, but the atmosphere didn't feel exactly alive to me in a lot of those settings. Until I ran into a wide awake, frontline, cutting edge believer that embraced the word of God and had a life-changing experience. And then was able to turn around and testify about how he had experienced Jesus. So then two different people invited me to he told me about Jesus, and then a girl invited me to church. So I went with her to church on Wednesday night. And when the preacher preached, he preached from the same book that I had heard growing up, and but yet he preached with conviction. He believed what he was saying, and I was really impacted by it. In fact, the message was life-giving. His preaching, you know, it wasn't fancy. He wasn't leaning on oratory skills, per se. He's just preaching God's word, and it stimulated my hunger, and it put me in touch with the fact that God's word is alive. God's word is alive where even if somebody shares it and they don't even mean it, it's alive anyway. And that's a trip, because you can go to a high school graduation and somebody will get up and quote a scripture, and there'll be somebody down the aisle that'll be bawling their eyes out wanting to repent. And the person would not have even meant to lead them to the Lord. I love it. The gospel has made it into speeches from around Benjamin Franklin's day on. It used to be popular. In fact, when you were a leader in the country, you were obligated to incorporate scriptures because the word of God and scriptures were so important in society at that time. You know, I don't want Jesus to be ignored in my generation. I don't want there to be a drought of the word of God. I want the word to be honored. In fact, you know, I believe tonight, you know, Jesus is the word made flesh. And we beheld his glory, the glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, and it's Jesus. And so I want to exalt Jesus. How about you? And I want to exalt the word of God. I feel like if we, as followers of Jesus, promote the word of God and honor the word of God, we'll see supernatural things take place. Jesus will be glorified, and people will not be able to ignore the presence of God. So the reason I'm preaching this to you is to encourage your personal faith, but also in the larger picture, to cause us to have some reverence and respect for God's word, and to be word people, be Bible people, and be doers of the word. If we're doers of the word, the Bible says we'll be blessed in whatever we do. Taking action and reading what the scripture says and following through on it. It's amazing. It's alive. It's living. It's quick and powerful. Active. It's what gets on the inside of us. When we share the gospel, the word will go forth into hearts without coercion or the necessity for it. The farmer sows the seed, and there's just an inherent miracle potential in it. And for that matter, the mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life. So that means that what God deposits in you and me will come out. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. Even right now, as I'm preaching the scripture to you, you're going to get this. It's going over in your spirit. Some of you are looking at your Bibles. Some of you are pondering this, that the word of God is actually alive. So when you and I read the word, we read stories from the gospels, or we read what Paul wrote in his epistles to the church. We read the Psalms. There's life in the word. It's not just great history. For a period of time when I would go, Patsy and I would go on mission trips to Europe and to England, I got into collecting out-of-print English translations of the Bible. I, early in my walk, went to a Christian bookstore, and the guy put me in touch with this 26 translations New Testament. And I was asking about a study book, and he said, I think this is the best study book for the New Testament because it's just a compilation. A guy named Curtis Vaughn, I actually wrote him a letter of thanks for doing this. He put together highlights from 26 translations at this time in 1967. What's really cool is I actually have one that has his autograph in it, Zondervan's autograph. Paul Harvey somehow got in there. Paul Harvey. Now for the rest of the story. So that's pretty cool. And Jack Ham was a cartoonist that actually dropped the idea on Curtis Vaughn and inspired them to put this amazing thing together. I actually collected these and gave them to my staff guys because it'll help you to fall in love with the Word of God. And it helps you to just slow down and meditate a little bit on a verse. So, like even this verse right here, for example, the Word of God is quick and powerful, it says in the King James. In the American Standard Version, it says, the Word of God is living and active. That's what the New American Standard is translated from the American Standard. Rotherham's emphasized, for living is the Word of God and energetic. Living is the Word of God and energetic. I like it. Weymouth translation, for the Word of God is full of life and power. Full of life and power. Another translation says it's effectual. How many of you want to live a life of effectiveness? How many of you want to just go through life and have nothing work? None of us do. Well, God's Word works, and it's effectual. And you could ponder the word effectual. I'm going to get to that in a minute, because active, that can be translated effective. The Greek word is energos, and it's effective, it's energized, it's powerful. It's so powerful. It'll energize you when you're fatigued. The Word of God will quicken your mortal body. The Word of God will renew your mind. The Word of God will help you out of a bad attitude, out of a spirit of fear. It'll turn the tide on overwhelming circumstances. It'll help a numb mind to get composure because it's energizing. It'll help you when you don't know what to do. You can rely on the Word of God. The Word of God, it says, is a living thing and active. It's full of power in action, the Williams translation says. J.B. Phillips says, the word that God speaks is alive and active. And the Living Bible, Kenneth Taylor, whatever God says to us is full of living power. I like that. It's full of living power. When Jesus spoke the word on the road to Emmaus, they said, did not our hearts burn within us? Jeremiah said, it's like fire shut up in my bones. And those are the kinds of examples of what the Word of God is. But in this verse, the Word of God is living, active, sharper than a two-edged sword, and piercing the division of soul and spirit. Before the night's over, you're going to see that as you and I get in the Word of God, it'll help us to be less carnal, less fleshly, and more led by the Holy Spirit, and make us sensitized. While I was studying today, I was outside and I was studying, and the Lord quickened a person's name to me. And three days before, I had been praying for this family's children, who I've only met one time, and they're 2,000 miles away, and I haven't seen this family for some time. Well, God quickened it into my spirit. Now, I know what that activity is, because in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and chapter 14, it itemizes manifestations of the Holy Spirit, and this one I identify as a word of knowledge. And it was God was quickening me and prompting me in prayer to pray about this family. So I prayed for them, and then God wanted me to follow up. And I happened to have cell phone numbers, so I called them. They were in a car driving north to actually meet and unite with their family. So I called them and said, hey, and I didn't know any of that. And I said, and while I was studying, I thought, well, I'm studying, and I should discipline myself not to make a phone call right now. But then the Lord prompted me to make the phone call. And I had to sit there and deal with it for a little bit. Now, is that just my flesh or is that the Holy Spirit? Because my flesh sometimes, while I'm in the middle of doing one thing, will be distracted to go do another. Is anybody with me on that? Thank you. Okay. So I had to check that out. And what's really awesome about this, and I'm jumping around a little bit, but this piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, actually God's word, right while I had all my Bibles opened up and I was preparing to minister to you tonight, God said, go ahead and call them. So I called them. They just happened to be going to visit their sons. I said, well, it's interesting because I just prayed for all your sons. They said, that's interesting because, and I just thought, wow, I am having a biblical moment right now. And I want to say something to you so you understand. That is what God's living word, active word, energized word will do in the heart and mind and life of a believer. He'll move us away from carnality and move us over into a place of sensitivity to his Holy Spirit. And as we mature and we grow up in him, we have potential to become more and more effective because his word is effectual. Can I hear an amen? It's living, it's active, it's sharper than a two-edged sword, and it divides asunder soul and spirit. Paul talked to the Corinthians and he said that they were very soulish. They were very carnal. He said in 1 Corinthians 3, he said, I can't speak to you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as carnal. And he was talking to Christians. So it's convicting for all of us. So if there's potential for us to be carnal Christians, there's also potential for us to be spiritually energized and to develop spiritually and grow and be that much more effective to win people to the Lord and to be more effective in the encouragement that so many people so vitally need. So it would behoove us to meditate on the word. And this is why Psalm 1 is so pertinent for us. He said that we meditate on his word day and night. We don't walk on the path of sinners or sit in the seat of the scoffer and so forth. But we get over into a different perspective and we continually putting ourselves in the presence of God and saying, okay, God, I'm gonna feed on your word. And I'm expecting, as I feed on your word, because it's living, because it's active, because it's sharper than a two-edged sword, it's going to help me to make distinction between soul and spirit. So many decisions we have to make. And we all have, let's just face it, we all have our biases, we all have our experiences, we all have our preferences. And I've watched this in some wonderful cases with some of my elders when I was younger, how they would wait in a moment of decision-making to really check and see what they felt the Lord was leading them on. And I talked to a guy who was in a situation where he had to excuse himself from the situation because he was getting really angry, and he was so grateful that God helped him not to get angry and blow it in this particular setting. And I thought, who would help you with that but the Holy Spirit? How can we do the be angry but sin not except by the power of the parameters and the restraints of the Word of God? Some of our personalities are different from, well, we all differ from each other. And, you know, some of us are more prone to volatility. Some of us are more prone to being more reserved. He knows how to humble the proud, and he knows how to lift up the Gideon who says, I'm a nobody. He knows how to balance us out. I heard a man named Norville Hayes said, if you think you're smarter and better looking than everybody else, just walk around and say, I'm nothing without you, Jesus. And if you feel beat up and like a worm, he said, just say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I think that's a powerful counterpoint, and it'll help us to crucify our flesh. Anyway, let's get back to this so that we can stay on course with this. The Word of God is alive. When we speak God's Word, even if they resist it. One time my brother was working in a Chesterfield Mall, and I went up to see him, and he was out to lunch. And so I was talking to someone at the store that he was working at in a summer kind of job, and we were young guys before we were married, and I began to talk. There was one person there that was a believer, and I said, hey, I just, you know, talked to her a little bit about Jesus, and there was a lady behind me saying, stop saying those words, stop saying those words. And I just didn't even know she was there. And I went, well, okay. And I just, let me just finish. And I just said a few more things about Jesus on the way out of the store. And 2 weeks later, everybody say 2 weeks later, I got a knock on the door of her house. I opened up the door. It was the lady that's a believer who worked with my brother. And then the manager of the store. She was the one that was telling me to shut up. They came and found me at our house to tell me that when she went home, she said, I couldn't shake what you said. It got up, it haunted me. It got in my mind. That night I hardly could sleep. For 2 weeks, she said, I've given my life to Jesus now. I couldn't shake those words. You know, I didn't go in there, you know, in a white robe carrying a cross and yelling real loud. I didn't have a bullhorn. I wasn't passing out tracts. I wasn't even there to be obnoxious. I was there to go see my brother. But the Lord prompted me just in a moment And I just don't, you know, don't go in. I've heard people recently preach, like, go in and if the flight attendant bothers you, keep, you know, just keep preaching at them. And it's like, no, just, I don't know. God's not calling us to be crass, but he's not calling us to back off either. So we need to be led. And I believe the word of God and the guidance of the Holy Spirit is our, it's our balance. It'll show us how to make a difference in the world. So I sowed those seeds. You know, she said, you know, I guess the devil didn't want me to say those words. Like the centurion said, speak the word only and my servant will be healed. And there really is a power in speaking God's word. It's active. It's active as opposed to passive. It's energized. It's energized. And one of my favorite New Testament scriptures is Philemon 6. And it uses the same exact Greek word when it talks about active and energized. It says in Philemon 6 that he's praying that the fellowship of our faith will become effectual or effective through the knowledge or the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you for Christ's sake. You ought to live on this verse because your Christianity and mine will become more effective to the degree that we take inventory on the amazing things God has put in our lives. God's love is shed abroad in our hearts. So we husbands, for example, can be creative to know how to live with our wives in an understanding way. Wives, you know, you can win your husband without a word when you feel so frustrated. That's what it says in 1 Peter, that God's word will increase our effectiveness in such a way and on such a level. And I really like the Apostle Paul, because Paul was Saul of Tarsus, and he, by his own description, was a jerk. He was the chief of sinners. He was persecuting the church. He was zealous to try to stop Christianity before it started. This is what fascinates me about how God got a hold of him. So as you guys see, and we see, people in our culture right now that are really harsh advocates against the Lord and, you know, in this sort of bias, man, pray for him. I think Saul of Tarsus got prayed for by the people. He was dragged people out of their houses. So the people that were still in the house were praying for him because the Bible says, bless those who curse you. And I just am convinced that God can take a hold of a hard person, give him a road to Damascus experience, and give him a 180 and make him brand new, make him a new creature. In fact, that's the hallmark truth of Paul the Apostle, is he said, I'm a new creation in Christ. He's the guy that puts us in touch with so many of these truths about the Holy Spirit and about the potential. I mean, his journeys in Europe and the nations where he went to is the prototype for us at work and in Chesterfield Valley and in St. Louis and in North America. Hey, our country right now needs us to be embracing the living, active, sharper than a two-edged sword word that can bring distinction between soul and spirit. And our movement needs to be spirit-taught and spirit-led. And we're coming, and the word, and this is the good thing. This doesn't elude us. Some of my great mentors, like Dick Mills, he's passed. So I don't have the benefit of his personal interaction or an opportunity to give him a phone call. But you know what? Even though he's gone, the word of God is always here. And even though they're dead, they still speak. So we're in a good place. We're in a good place as a people. We've been given and gifted this amazing treasure from Genesis to Revelation. I mean, I started tackling Ezekiel. I mean, I looked up the word. The word of the Lord came unto me saying, and I looked it up in my computer, and it's repeated 42 times in the King James Version, 5 times in Jeremiah, 2 times in Zechariah, a full 35 times in the book of Ezekiel. And, you know, honestly, I've not been taking excursions into Ezekiel in a while, but I'm feeling like something about aspects of his life, God's prompting me to look into. And just the idea that God kept speaking to him, the word of the Lord came to me saying, boy, that'll inspire your faith. I believe God will speak a word to you. He'll prompt scripture to you. There's a logos word of God. There's the rhema word of God, where God seems to prompt it in our spirit. And this is what I want you guys to lift up your heads and be aware of. God will prompt a word in your spirit. And you know, we don't want to manufacture anything. We don't want things to be false. Of course not. But he said, my sheep know my voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. Chelsea sent me an amazing clip from YouTube where there was an experiment where some tour group went up to the edge of a farm field that was full of sheep. And first girl started trying to call the sheep in, and they didn't even lift up their heads from grazing. Next girl tried to do everything she could to call the sheep in. The third person tried it. And then the shepherd came up, and he did some funny little call, and the sheep went, and they looked up, and they came running to him. It was such a trip. And apparently sheep know the shepherd's voice. But not just apparently, for us in John 10, we literally do know the master's voice. And whatever you and I are facing right now, God will wake you up and he'll prompt you if you'll listen to him. So we don't have to back off. We're not called to be flaky, but we're also not called to be formalistic and dead either. We're called to walk in this thing with maturity, walk in this thing with accuracy, walk in this thing and be on point with it. I mean, I am so grateful to the Lord that he prompted me to pray for this couple's kids. And then the way this thing, for me, it's rewarding because, man, in the midst of how bombarded and fatigued I am, God still was able to use me. Man, I mean, that's my testimony. It's not like, hey, guys, let me tell you how spiritual I was this week. Let me tell you that in the midst of my fatigue, my distraction, the pressure, that God's gifts are, the Bible says his gifts and his calling are irrevocable. They're without repentance, which means there are these things available to us. Like it says in James chapter 5, that the fervent, heartfelt prayer of a righteous man avails much. It makes power available. So we could pray about these things. In fact, I believe God is calling us right now. He's looking for people, just like in Ezekiel's day, who will stand in the gap, build up the wall, make up the hedge, and wield the two-edged sword of the Spirit. It is written, and resist the devil and speak God's word, because it's living, it's active, it's sharper than a two-edged sword. Hallelujah. So it's sharp. It's sharper. It's sharper. I watched one of these cooking shows, America's Test Kitchen. I really like it. Whenever I watch it, I get hungry. And they're scientific, and it's kind of cool. Like, they tell you why the food tastes better if you do this and that. But then they had a show about knives and knife sharpeners, more specifically. And they do little gadget things. For example, they'll show you the best scale to buy that you can pull out the front of it so you can read it. If you put a big pot on top of it and it's easy to clean, and it's like, this one's $49.99, this one's $11.99. They have all this stuff. They're like super kitchen nerds. But they got in these knives, and somebody got me some really cool knives, so I was really happy that the knife set that people blessed me with, they made it on the top tier of their thing. But the test of these cooking knives on this show was that the sharp knife test was to cut an average copy machine paper, an 8.5 by 11 piece of paper, with one slice. And that's what this word sharper means. It means not cutting by hacking, but with a single stroke. In fact, sharper and is a divider. It pierces as far as the division between soul and spirit. And here's the thing about what I want to finish up here with, and this is why I'm preaching the scripture to you. The word of God's living, it's active, it's sharper than a two-edged sword. Every time you make an investment into studying, meditating, pulling up a scripture, it is going to advance you in your Christian walk. It's gonna help you to be sensitized, to distinguish between good and evil. It's going to remind you of the effectiveness and the force of righteousness that God's put in your life as a gift. It's going to help you to overcome the flesh and walk in the Spirit. And I guess I'm advocating for the supernatural dimension that God is wanting us to be aware of and be open to, where we can actually be led by the Spirit and follow his promptings, and that chiefly the test is, Does it line up with the Word of God, and does it honor and glorify Jesus? Is it in context in it, or did I just eat too much pizza last night? And I think that we constantly have to check, but we must press in, because there are going to be people that are going to call on you for direction. They're going to bring their sick to you. See, I prophesy this stuff, and a couple came to me. Actually, I had been praying for them. I said, hey, guys, and they were parked in the back here. And I said, hey, I've been praying for you. Well, Pastor Jeff, remember when you said that people would come to our house and knock on the door and they'd be crying and they want help? I said, yeah. Big burly guy came over and sat on our couch weeping. And then they began to explain to me, oh, the Holy Spirit was moving. They just had that happen. You say, Pastor Jeff, I don't want a big burly crying guy to knock on my door and come to my house. I know. I don't particularly want that either. But I just want to just let you know, they will bring their sick to you. And you go to visit your brother to go hang out with him and, you know, grab a soda or something, and he's not even there, and God just takes it and does a bait and switch flip thing, and it ends up being like a vapor trail of the presence of God. See, I want you guys to understand just how amazing and how practical the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit is, so you can operate in the awareness of it. The devil's fighting against this, and I've just come in to preach it. And I feel like God is just, this is where I'm on point right now on the subject of words. There's one who speaks rashly as the thrust of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. And God wants to touch your tongue, and God wants to fill your heart so that the words of your mouth reflect, you know, what out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. So we pack and cram ourselves with the Word of God. You say, Pastor Jeff, I haven't been reading my Bible lately. Okay, well, start reading it now. Pastor Jeff, I haven't been in the Word lately. That's why I preach the Word to you. That's why I want this to be a Word church, a faith church, a love church, a hope church, full of signs and wonders, visions and dreams. I'm believing God that He will activate us so that what we do will prosper and that we'll see a contagious nature of the gospel. I mean, this is real, you guys. This is so, so serious. Listen to what it says here in the last part of James. It says, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. Patsy said, you know, I went out with her, she and her brothers and our kids, and I looked around and I saw all the people filling in, and I thought, God, restore my burden for the lost. As a pastor, I'm so dedicated to help the initiated, but I want to lift up my eyes and see the generation that is poised for eternity away from God, and we've got to figure out how to win them to the Lord. And if you want to know, the reason I want to bring Reinhard Bonnke back at 77 years old is because as an equipping evangelist, it will trigger our passion to see more people come to the Lord, and see more people come to the Lord. The Word of God is our message. It's the Word of God is living, it's active, it's sharper than a two-edged sword. And I want to finish with this. In a single stroke, it'll bring distinction and bring conviction to you. In John chapter 15, it talks about abide in Him and He abides in you. And He says, you are already pruned or cleansed because of the Word. The Word will clip your feathers, man. The Word will straighten you up. I mean, you could have people try to give you advice and stuff. You can argue with that or resist that. But man, you can't resist the Word of God. When the Word of God comes in and convicts you where you need to repent, and it convinces you and reminds you of what you have and who you are in Jesus. Listen, I read the Bible and I found out that I'm a joint heir with Jesus, that He's chosen my inheritance for me, that He's translated me out of darkness and brought me into the kingdom of His dear Son, that the God of peace eventually will soon crush Satan underneath my feet, that all things for which I pray and ask, I believe I receive, and I have them. And I also read when I'm discouraged that I have this hope as an anchor for my soul. I read that when I, as if and since I'm building my house on the rock instead of sand, when the winds blow and the waves crash, somehow by the grace of God, having done all to stand, we're going to stand. In fact, let's all stand up. Everybody say living, active, sharper, and then it also divides. If you guys are confused, double up on the divider. Spend more time in the Word. This has helped me for years and years. I mean, I've fasted and I've prayed and we've all got those seasons. But the Word of God is our abiding clarifier. It's awesome. God's preserved it. He's instructed us with it. He's guiding us. It's a lamp. It's a light. It comes in. It brings us into an amazing place. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.